Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry, this is Sherry Veronica of Blog Talk Radio, Naked Departure Radio, and with me in studio today is Victor. Say hi to everyone, Victor.
Hey, Barbados, election time. Glad to be with you.
Predictions and discussions. Let's get right into it. Do you think Natalie Harewood is going to win her constituency in Bridgetown, Barbados?
No. She's not going to win that constituency because Bostic is a good politician. He's strong. He's part of a major political establishment in the Barbados Labor Party. He will win that seat. He's a consummate politician, a hard worker, a good man. The military guy. I've known him for many, many years. He is going to retain that seat handily, but Natalie will not lose her deposit like Lynette Eastman will and the DLP candidate will. But Natalie will not lose her deposit.
Remember let's not leave out Solutions Barbados because he thinks he's going to win.
Non-issue.
The UPP is more of an issue than Solutions Barbados?
The Solutions Barbados and the UPP are one of the same. Non-issues. If you don't even make one breath politically in a non-scientific poll, if you looked at all the non-scientific polls out there, non-scientific, of course, so, I mean, not conducted by Peter Wickham, but if you look at those polls, non-scientific polls, it's laughable that
science is observation, and you and I can make predictions based on our observations and all the information that we have reviewed. You know, we are all scientists in our own right. So, you know, we can make – like you just said, you've made a prediction that she's not – Natalie is not going to lose her deposit because she's going to have an ample amount of votes. She will get some votes, but she's not going to win. She's not going to win that seat. She's not going to win it. That's a scientific prediction because you can see what's going on. You can hear what's going on. You have a flavor. You can get the taste of what's going on. Do you agree?
I'm not scientific at all. Wickham would be better able to do this than I would because there are certain scientific models, certain probabilities, certain tests that he employs that would solidify the position that he takes based on statistical models. I am not doing that. I am guesstimating that based on the Barbados Labor Party and based on what has been in the past. The city of Bridgetown has always been, for the most part, held by the Barbados Labor Party. That the possibility does exist this time around, with the Democratic Labor Party being a catastrophic party politically, that the Barbados Labor Party will retain his seat in the Bridgetown area. That's my belief.
Boston is DLP?
Yes. Barbados
Labor Party candidate. Yes. He's a what? A DLP?
So
a DLP?
He is a Barbados Labor Party. BLP.
Okay, so he's a BLP. He's a BLP.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah, over the history, go back and look. I mean, what has been is certainly, for the most part, what has been will be. I mean, history is cyclical. So I am of the opinion Jeffrey Bostic has done nothing for the people of Bridgetown to remove him from his seat. He has done no wrong. Nothing that has happened over a period of time for him to be removed, period. He's been a very solid candidate. He's been a very
other than him, can we take the Indians that run things in Barbados, can we take them into consideration? Because people think, hey, there's a whole set of Indians having their businesses in Barbados, and they're not going to vote for Natalie. No way. What do you think about that sentiment?
I believe that they would not. They vote for the established political party, the party that is on the crest, the party that has the wave. The party that has the wave is the Barbados Labour Party. And that party is going to ride that wave to power, period. I don't care if, you know, if Jesus came back from the dead and is walking among us right now, it cannot save the Democratic Labour Party what is certainly going to happen to them, period.
What about Dennis Lowe? Let's move on. What about Dennis Lowe?
Dennis Lowe is... Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you think that he's going to retain his seat? Do you think that there are people in Barbados who's actually going to vote him back into that particular slot?
Let me tell you what's going to happen, in my opinion. On election night, two things will happen that will tell you whether or not there's going to be a 30-0 whitewash of the Democratic Labour Party. I will contend that they will lose all of the St. Michael seats, every last one of them, gone. If they lose
obviously you're talking about even the Prime Minister is going to lose his seat.
Yes, the Prime Minister, Kirk is going to beat him like a drum, They're going to lose all of the St. Michael seats, all of them, and they're going to lose St. John, and they're going to lose St. Lucie. Once that happens, it will be a 30-0 thrumping, right? It's going to be a political bloodbath come the 24th. They're going to lose miserably. They know it. If this was a heavyweight title match, the fight would be stopped by now. The referee would step in.
Well, if it was a heavyweight title match, Dennis Lowe would be dead before he even got into the ring. Do you think that he should have resigned that position given the fact, and this is all alleged. Let's assume that what we are hearing is true. Do you think that Dennis Lowe should have resigned his position so that a stronger candidate could have been standing in his stead?
Listen. Dennis Lowe is an absolute disgrace. He should have been gone from public life when David Thompson had the opportunity years ago and reshuffled the cabinet because of what Dennis Lowe is alleged to have done back then. The fact that all of his actions have led to where he is now and he is compromised. From a health standpoint, I don't wish that on anybody. But Dennis Lowe should not. It shows the desperation of Frondell Stewart that the man allows an incapacitated politician to stand for office. Tells me that Frondell Stewart is probably the worst form of political judge. His political judgment sucks that he allows this man to run. The man should go home and wait on his maker.
Yeah, a long time. It was because of him that the Waterworks headquarters there in the Pine got going because many people are saying that they could have repaired the one that was in the Pine. Didn't have to do that whole new structure where Lowe waited on Innotech to give kickbacks. He and, you know, whoever he had a relationship with to get contracts. It's a shame. And like you said, he should have been gone a long time ago, but he was allowed to make even more money.
Gone.
Who knows? His mother is dead and
gone.
They said that he had a whole lot of money under her accounts, under her name, you know, and then when she died, he wasn't so smart because that money had to be split between all the sisters and brothers. So, you know, what are they doing now? Whenever we think about corruption, Lowe's name is right there in the thick of it. Always in the thick of it. What do you think about Michael Carrington? Do you think he should have resigned? Do you think that the Prime Minister, Frondell Stewart should have pressured Michael Carrington to resign?
Michael Carrington should have been placed in the preferred jury of this time. Handcuffs, leg irons, and wrist chains and sent to Dodds. Michael Carrington is a disgrace. The fact that he smirks before the people of Barbados is an act of contempt, and he should have been disbarred disbarred, never allowed to practice law in Barbados again. And the fact that he presided over the largest, well, not the largest, but the oldest legislative body of its type in the Western Hemisphere, the fact that he has presided over that as its speaker tells me again that Frondell Stewart not only lacks the capacity to lead, but he lacks the capacity as a lawyer. Frondell Stewart is an officer of the court. People seem to forget. So these things that he has done while sitting at the high level of prime minister in Barbados are not things that's done without calculations, Sherry. Frondell Stewart is a lawyer. So most things that he has done, that he has presided over, whether nefarious or otherwise, speaks high volume to the fact that he is just as corrupt as the people who are doing these nefarious things in these ministries. Carrington should definitely not be. He is a man that's lacking in the basic tenets of civic sense. Decency. He is morally decayed, maladjusted, and should be gone from the Barbados legal system, not allowed to practice again. But again, the Prime Minister of Barbados, Frondell Stewart, has sought to pad the judiciary with yes people like the Chief Justice and with the Governor General that he selected. These are all red herrings that this man has sought to throw across the trail to simplify and muddy the waters in Barbados and in the legal process in Barbados. He's done this, and he's done it with calculation and very measured. But Carrington should be gone. Carrington is a disgrace.
From the time that news hit the airwaves, he should have been gone. So that's a black eye also against the Prime Minister, correct?
The Prime Minister told David Carrington
to get a lawyer.
He told him to get a lawyer, knowing what he had done with that old man. He told him just like he told Mara Thompson in the Clico situation to shut up, to don't say a word. So the Prime Minister of Barbados, Frondell Stewart, has been in on a hoax, on a pyramid scheme, on a Ponzi scheme, on a Ponzi arrangement to defraud the people of Barbados from day one. The Prime Minister is as culpable as all of those people who have committed the acts, because he not only holds the high office of Prime Minister, and the instruments of power have been invested in him, but he does possess a legal background. Unlike what they are claiming or have claimed about Mia, which is not true, the Prime Minister is perhaps the greatest fraud as a lawyer in the history of Barbados, because he has presided over a country when he knows, as an officer of the court, and he was also the Attorney General of Barbados, that nefarious acts by members of his cabinet, those acts were committed under his watch. Under his watch. He did not reshuffle the cabinet. He said nothing. He is a criminal like the rest.
A disgrace. I was about to ask you if I had some questions, and I had a question asking you if you think that Frondell Stewart should be replaced as a party leader, but I guess that answer would be yes. But then who would replace him if they're all the same, if all of them are just a bunch of dirty bullshitters, as Patrick King, who will be on the show on Thursday? Patrick King is on Thursday. Coco is on tomorrow to give her his spiel on what's going on. I don't even know if Mia Motley is his aunt, but he refers to her as Auntie Mia. But anyhow, he will be on tomorrow, Patrick King on Thursday. But as Patrick King calls them, they're all frauds. So, you know, it almost seems a moot point at this time. Go ahead. please.
Antimia is a local colloquialism that is used. It's a euphemism that's used.
Oh, I see.
Most young Barbadians know. Yes. So I have dubbed it in things that I have written. I've said that if Errol Barrow is the father of Barbados' independence, then Mia Motley is the auntie of Barbados' liberation. That is my take on that. So I refer to her as Auntie Mia as well, because she's coming at a time to liberate. She is Barbados' liberator. She is the female version of Simone Bolivar. She's coming to liberate a place that is a cesspool of indecency and corruption. Not that the Barbadian people are cesspool people, but they have been led to a cesspool of malcontent. Not one area of Barbados, we've talked about this here on Naked Departure, has shown any positive effects at all of the Democratic Labor Party's 10 years in power. All those people did was they came and they saw and they conquered. And they took, they looted. And as far as who replaces Frondell's throat, who gives a damn? I couldn't give a damn, because they never thought about who was going to replace anybody in 10 years. They never took one young person, invited them into the party, cultivated youth to replace themselves, because all they thought about was putting their hands in the proverbial cookie jar and stealing as much as they could. And as a result of that, the Democratic Labor Party has been the chieftains to the challenges of the Democratic process.
Let me ask a question going into that. Let me ask a question on this stealing thing, because they seem to have been really on a mission to bankrupt Barbados, and they accomplished that mission. Do you think that Mia Motley, when she reaches office, as you think that she will, do you think she's going to prosecute her friends in the DLP?
I think that Mia will do what the people ask her to do, what is the mandate within her own party, within her own parliamentary group. I think that she's a solid person. I think that she's a decent person. And listen, no politician is perfect. And I don't expect miracles from her right away, and no one should. You have to give her time. Barbados is a body. Let's say Barbados is a body, a human body. And Barbados has been corrupted. The body has been corrupted with cancer. Right? It's going to take a while if the cancer is stage 2, and we know that there are 4 stages of cancer. From a physiological standpoint, it's going to take a while with radiology and other therapies, right, for that body to remove the cancer that is metastasizing. What 10 years of the Democratic Labor Party has done to Barbados is it has cancerized Barbados. Frondell Stewart has balkanized Barbados. He has come with a scorched earth process. Mia is a great politician, but she's not a goddess. She's not. You're going to have to give her time and be patient with her, Barbados. You're going to have to give the political arm of the Barbados Labor Party time and be patient with them to clean up this mess. But I believe that she will do like Muhammad Buhari has done in Nigeria, where he came into power in Nigeria, President Muhammad Buhari, and he sought to get the loot back that was taken by the Nigerian politicians under Goodluck Jonathan. And I believe that Mia will do that. She will seek, and I hope that she will put in place a Truth and Reconciliation Commission with the main goal of having Barbados' ill-gotten gains of those parliamentarians in the Democratic Labor Party, return to the people of Barbados, or that those who have taken monies from the people of Barbados without returning it be prosecuted. Simple and straightforward. And I think that she will do that based on what she's told by her advisors and by the parliamentary group, the arm within the Barbados Labour Party. That's what
I think. But what if these people have done the same thing Mia Motley herself did when she was in government? Because I don't know if you saw today's paper where her ex-BLP member created a hostile situation and threw her under the bus, saying that when he was out of town and behind his back and without his permission, she wrote off a whole set of taxes from her father. So what if she is just like the people coming out? The people going in are just like the people coming out. What next?
I don't believe it's possible to seek to for Barbados to go that far down from a standpoint of depravity as it is right now under the Democratic Labour Party. And if, according to what Owen S. Arthur has said, if Mia Motley did what he claims that she did, then why didn't he bring that before the people of Barbados when he was Prime Minister? Why is he bringing it before the people of Barbados now? Again, you know, I believe that the legacy of Owen S. Arthur, for the most part, should be what it once was, that he should have been venerated as a Prime Minister of Barbados who steadied the boat. Like I stated on this program and like I've written in several of my writings, I believe that Owen S. Arthur is the cause for Barbados being where it is right now under this current spate of Democratic Labour Party politicians. Why? Because Owen Arthur stopped being the consummate politician that he could have been. He stopped. He took his feet off the proverbial gas pedal of politics, and he lost that Midas touch, the touch that most politicians possess over a period of time. It's a political Midas touch. He lost it.
Okay.
So
Victor, from your point of view, it's over for the Democratic Labour Party, for the DLP. It's over. You've given the third parties and the independents no hope whatsoever. So you're saying that it's going to be a wash. The BLP is going to take the elections, and they're going to be, I mean, without any of them losing, because it seems though you think that all will secure their seats. Is that correct? Do you think that all of them are strong enough?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes,
it's going to be a wash then. The elections will,
yes,
the elections will be a... Mm.
Yes.
So
if
it doesn't even make sense talking about your boy Alex. You know, Alex is hoping to be the Prime Minister of Barbados. I don't mean to make this a comedy show, but I mean, I mean, there's absolutely no hope for him. For anyone,
he's going to lose his deposit. All of them lose their deposit. Most of the people in Solutions Barbados will lose their deposits. Most of them will lose their deposits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if not all of them. I mean, it's just done. Listen.
So let me ask you something. What are we seeing that these people cannot see? Because if you talk to Grenville Phillips, he's sure. When I say sure, I mean sure. He's going to win. He's going to be the next Prime Minister of Barbados. Now, I guess you're supposed to act very confident when you go into these kind of arenas, but is there a part where common sense comes in, where people will say, well, it's going to be a difficult fight from what we are seeing, from the polls, from what we're hearing, we're not so sure. You know how some people can gauge it like that, but people are not gauging it like that. They're saying they're going to win. And Nauri is saying she's going to win. She's thinking she's going to win. And even if she doesn't win, she does say that she's going to be back in 5 years. But she's very confident. What are these people missing?
And
I know you
can't miss
them, but I mean...
they're missing one that, you know, the wave is a national wave. It's not an individual wave. And while many people may laud Natalie, myself included, you know, I laud her. I'm happy that she's taken on the ultimate responsibility of citizenry, not only the ability to vote, but the ability to be active in participatory politics. I do not see, based on that seat, based on, let's be realistic, Natalie's past, And she said that the past doesn't determine the future, but in this case, I think she's wrong. One's past does determine one's future. She will make a good showing, but she will not win. She will not win. And the establishment of the Barbados Labor Party is entrenched in the city. And in my opinion, the political establishment, the might of the BLP, is too big for her to overcome the enormity of that, of the size, political size, and this political tsunami that's going to sweep up Barbados. Those political third parties didn't get out far enough in political time to have canvassed, to have established themselves in the different constituencies in Barbados. And frankly speaking, not suggesting that Grenville Phillips doesn't have a lot of good ideas for moving forward with the management of things in Barbados, but he just doesn't give me enough bang for the buck. I don't want another political Ayatollah. Iran already has one of those. Grenville Phillips comes across to me, as being too religious. I don't want a guy, you know, we are facing a crisis in Trinidad and in Caribbean waters that are neutral waters, and a prime minister to tell the country that we have to pray and we have no. That I need that left for Sunday morning in the pulpit. Grenville Phillips comes across to me as too much of a theocrat, too much theocratic zeal to be the prime minister of Barbados. That's my opinion about him. So it's not to say that he doesn't have good ideas and that his ideas can't be incorporated into the best interests of Barbadian politics and for Barbadians. But as a prime minister, no, not ready. So I don't see him making a dent.
Go ahead. Okay. If there's an audit under Mayor Motley's presidency, prime ministership, if there's an audit and it can be traced that St. Clair, who took Barbados 20-plus into 20-plus downgrades, if he can be found culpable of anything that was treasonous, because that's what it is in his position, do you think that he also, like you said of Michael Carrington, should go to jail?
Yes. Why not? Why not? Chris St. Clair,
because sometimes
has been
you sometimes in those situations you can say you're taking risks. You know, people can say, well, he took a risk and it didn't pan out. But, you know, if the risks end up in a bank account offshore in England or wherever, that's not really a risk. That's highway robbery. So you think that you actually think that Mayor Motley, do you actually think, and I'm being truthful now, honest here now, do you actually think that Mayor Motley would assign an attorney general to prosecute members of the DLP if they can be found to have been treasonous while they were sitting their positions in office?
Yes. I know the Motley brand, and I think that she would do what's right by the law. I do.
Okay.
And I don't care what Owen Arthur says. And I want to caution the former prime minister that he needs to just stop. The country is at the precipice of returning to democratic principles. And he, more so than anyone else, should be aware of that, that the country is at the precipice of returning to democratic principles. If he wants to sully the fact that Barbados and Barbadians should have democratic principles within their grasp. And if he wants to employ those tactics to say that, you know, he is protecting democracy, I would disagree with Mr. Arthur. If he knew 15 years ago that Mia did something that he thought was wrong, why didn't he fire her then? He fired
Liz
Thompson and George
limitations,
Payne. So he fired them. He fired Liz Thompson and George Payne. So I see Mr. Arthur's attempts
The other time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you so very much. So we can be on any other time up until election. Thank you so very much. This is Sherry Veronica, Naked Departure Radio. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.